Chapter 2, The Long Journey.
Oh, where are they taking us?
The words, an anxious cry, rose to Molly's lips, but no one there gave answer. Words poured from the Frenchman's lips in swift torrents, while they waved their hands and arms. The lace ruffles at their sleeves made changing patterns in the air as they pointed up and down the valley. Indian voices now, deep-throated and guttural, were mixed with the Frenchman's high-pitched nasal tones. Over their shoulders, Frenchmen and Indians stared backward. Were they alarmed and anxious? A decision arrived at. The command, Jogo, march on, was given. The confusion of words faded away and heavy silence came down. Only the shuffle of moving feet, feet shod with hand-cobbled cowhide shoes, pressing the bare earth of the farmyard, and now and then the gulp of a stifled sob. Huddled together, tramping on each other's heels like a flock of uncertain sheep, the frightened people walked. Molly turned back her head and looked. For reasons known only to themselves, the Indians had not burned the house. There it stood, just as always, homelike and inviting in the morning sun, with smoke still coming from the stick and mud chimney at one side. There stood the well sweep, the grindstone, the corn crib. There stood the barn. Behind those walls of log, old Barney, the cows and calves, the sheep, all left alive, alone, with none to feed or tend them. Past the well sweep, the little crowd walked. Past the log buildings, the bee tree, the zigzag rail fence, the rail fence that bordered the cornfield. Molly loved the corn best when the stalks were high above her head. She loved its gentle rustling, the soft words it spoke as she walked between the rows, pulling the ears off one by one. She loved to feel the soft, warm earth ooze up between her naked toes. At the sharp memory of it all, she was seized with sudden pain. "Oh, Pa!" she cried, but her mouth, so twisted and crooked now, was scarce able to form the words. "Oh, Pa! You..."